I'm going to read a passage of Scripture to us that maybe some of you are familiar with. It's a very short passage of Scripture. Maybe you're not. It's a little bit obscure. And we're going to talk about God's will for this church, what God's will is in our lives, and how we can identify what God's will really is. I know Don shared hearing God's voice or listening to God's voice last week. This is almost kind of, sort of, but not really, a part two to Don's message. As I was listening to it, I'm like, wow, this is really good. Man, Don, you are a really good Bible teacher, and we're very, very thankful to you. Before I get started, I also want to mention this. I am just really, really thankful, and you all should be so blessed for the leadership that you have here at Hood Canal Community Church, for your search committee, for your elders. They have just been so welcoming to me and to even some of our friends who are visiting here today. You guys have an amazing leadership team, and I know that's because you all have been praying for them. You know, this has been a challenging season, not just here in Hood Canal, but really all around the world. And it's a miracle what God has done in your church. It's a miracle that God has sustained you through the season of challenge without even having a senior pastor for as many months as you guys have since Pastor Keith has left. So I commend your leadership. I'm so thankful for your leadership, and I am committed to continue to pray for you guys. So thank you all very much. I am in Exodus chapter 28. I have no idea what page that is in your pew Bible, so I apologize for that. Let me see if I can get us moving on here. Yes, so knowing God's will for Hood Canal Community Church. We are in Exodus 28, verses 29 and 30. By the way, I'm reading from the New King James Bible. So Aaron shall bear the names of the sons of Israel on the breastplate of judgment over his heart. And when he goes into the holy place, as a memorial before the Lord continually, and you shall put in the breastplate of judgment the Urim and the Thummim, and they shall be over Aaron's heart when he goes in before the Lord. So Aaron shall bear the judgment of the children of Israel over his heart before the Lord continually. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father, we thank you. We thank you that we have the indwelling of your Holy Spirit who lives in us, who leads us, who guides us. And Father, as challenging as it may be at times for us to really, truly hear and listen to your voice, we know that you know your sheep, you know your people, and we know our shepherd. And we have a strong desire to hear your voice and to walk in your perfect will. So my prayer today, Father, is that you would lead us and that you would guide us in your perfect will, personally and corporately as the body of Christ. We thank you, we love you, and we praise you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And all God's children said, Amen. Well, I know that there are times in our lives when we need to know the direction that God is walking us through, when we need to know personally where God may be leading us. And I know personally for me, as God leads me through, you know, different areas in my life and in different directions, kind of like he's doing right now with Claudia and myself, that I have to be a man of prayer, that I have to be in his word, that I need to be in tune with the people of God, my brothers and sisters. But I don't know about you, but I have never audibly heard the voice of God say, Mike, go in this direction. Maybe some of you have. I know that Don mentioned that last week. He'd never really heard the audible voice of God. And this morning, what I'd like to do is endeavor to share with us how the children of Israel followed the leading of God, and how personally for us today, as New Testament believers, how God might be pointing us in certain directions. And in Exodus chapter 8, as I've already read to you, we see that God had a very distinct way of communicating to the children of Israel through the high priest, and he used these two things called the Urim and the Thummim. Now, we may wonder, what on earth were the Urim and the Thummim? And not only that, but what was the purpose of these stones? Now, we don't know exactly how it worked. There's only a couple of places in the Old Testament that the Urim and the Thummim are even mentioned. I believe it's mentioned in Numbers chapter 27. Then we see it again in Deuteronomy chapter 3. And then it's alluded to in Joshua chapter 7. But we don't really truly have an understanding of what they were. But what they were 12 stones that the high priest would carry in a pouch, and before he would enter into the holy place, he would put those stones in place on the linen ephod that he would wear when he went in to minister and to worship before the Lord in the holy place. So what do you guys think these 12 stones represented? The 12 tribes of Israel. So the priest, the high priest, would go into the holy place and he would wear on his breastplate these 12 stones representing the 12 tribes of Israel. It was a beautiful work of art. And it's interesting that he wore those stones over his heart. And when the high priest needed direction, when the high priest needed to know nationally or personally the direction or God's will for the children of Israel, then he would go into the holy place and he would counsel before the Lord. And these stones, we don't know exactly how it worked. But what we believe was these stones would light up, indicating an answer. Some say that the 12 stones had Hebrew letters written on them and that they would maybe possibly spell out a word. Others believe that more than likely what would happen is that these stones would light up, somehow indicating whether the answer was yes or whether the answer was no. Pardon me one moment. Well, this dry, hot, humid area has just dried my mouth out. So, when we're looking at the Urim and the Thummim, it's important that we understand what those two words mean. So, Urim means lights, and Thummim means perfections. So, when the people of God needed to know God's perfect will, when the children of Israel needed to consult the Lord to know the direction that they should go in, they consulted the lights and the perfections. And again, the priest would wear these over his heart, and he would go into the holy place, and he would ask the Lord questions like, Lord, should we go to war? Lord, should we enter into a peace accord with this nation? Lord, what should we do next? And those stones would illuminate, giving direction, either yes or no. Wouldn't that be cool if it was that simple for us to know God's will? Wouldn't it be so awesome if you guys could just come to church and consult your pastor, and he would come on to the altar and he would wear these stones and Lord, I need to know an answer. Will you just let me know yes or no? Right at the beginning of COVID, right when the quarantine started, most of us thought, okay, what, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, maybe a month at most, right? No one expected it to last as long as it lasted. Right, Luke? You probably didn't, right? And my wife and I really wanted to go to New York City together. We'd never been there before as a couple, and we wanted to go there for our birthday. So we started looking at Airbnbs in Manhattan, and we found a really good deal on an Airbnb. And the trip wasn't for 6 months. And we said, well, you know what? For sure this COVID thing's going to be in our rearview mirror by the time 6 months passes by. And as things weren't opening up and things were getting worse and worse and worse, and we're looking at the calendar because we're getting closer and closer to our trip. Now, I don't know how many of you have ever booked an Airbnb before, but if you don't book, if you don't cancel it in a certain amount of time, you have to pay up front for your room. So you lose automatically 50% of what you paid into it. And then if you don't cancel like within 2 weeks before, you lose everything. And we're watching the calendar and we're watching, and all of a sudden New York City, we notice, is quarantining anyone who goes into the city. That means that when you get there, you have to stay inside of your Airbnb or your hotel for 2 weeks. You're not allowed to go out. You're not allowed to do anything. So we're watching and we're waiting and we're wondering, man, is this going to happen? And guess what happened? Come on, you can talk to me. It's okay. We lost it, right? We lost. If we had only had like the Urim and the Thummim that could have told us, yes, book the Airbnb, or no, do not do this. So how did this work for the children of Israel? And moving forward, even to the New Testament church, you know, they would come together and they would consult the high priest and they would ask those questions, and this would either be a national question. Usually, it was a national question that would be raised, that meaning that this was concerning everybody in the nation, or it could be something very, very serious that a person in the congregation was dealing with, and he would go before the high priest and consult. But there were challenges when it came to this. So, first of all, the challenge was your vicinity, right? Because you may not be in the same proximity or in the same vicinity as the high priest. You might be 100 miles away from him, but you need an answer from the Lord today. Well, no cell phones back then. You couldn't just text your high priest, right? You couldn't get bad reception and try to call the high priest. The high priest wasn't God. He wasn't omnipresent. You needed to make sure that you were in the same vicinity of the high priest, because traveling back then wasn't a simple task either. So check this out. When you were consulting the high priest or the Urim and the Thummim, you needed to make sure the question that you needed answer to was an important question, especially if you're 50 to 100 miles away. You didn't want to, I wonder if I should have steak or chicken or fish for dinner tonight. It needed, and that brings us to our next point, which is the urgency, right? How urgent is the inquiry that I'm seeking from the Lord? Because it wasn't usual to seek guidance from the Urim and the Thummim for everyday questions. It was usually used to consult the Lord for national issues. So two important criteria: your vicinity and urgency. Well, guess what happened? 1,500 years later, Jesus enters into Israel. And he says, "I am the light of the world." What was Jesus saying? He says, "I am the Urim." And you know, Jesus, he was the great high priest. And with Jesus, we don't have to worry about our proximity. We don't have to worry about our vicinity. Why? Because Jesus is always with us. And there is no mountain too high, this sounds like a country song, no valley too low where we cannot connect with our Jesus. In fact, in Matthew 28, as Jesus was ascending to heaven, he said, "Lo, I am with you always." How much is always? He never leaves us. Jesus is always within our vicinity. He will never forsake us. Jesus is our light. And check this out, church. Jesus cares for you. Jesus loves you. Jesus is concerned about every single issue in our lives. There is no problem that's too big for the Lord, right, Dave? There is no problem that may seem trivial to the Lord. He cares about every single thing that you care about. He cares about every single thing that I care about. He cares about you, folks. He cares about me. He cares about Hood Canal Community Church. And there's no problem that's too big for him or too small for him. Why? Because God cares for us. And Jesus is even greater than Aaron. He is the great high priest. He is our Urim. He is our Thummim. He is our light. And Jesus is our perfections. So how does this work for us? How does it work practically in our life? Well, I want us to think about Philippians 4. You know, the word tells us that we don't have to be worried or anxious about anything, but in everything. How much is everything? Everything is everything. In all things, we bring our thanksgiving to him. We bring our cares to him. We bring our concerns to him. And what does he do in return? He gives us peace that surpasses all understanding. And then First Peter 5:7 says that we can cast all of our cares upon him. You know what I'm going to ask you, don't you? How much is all? That's how much God cares for us. We don't have to be worried. We don't have to be anxious. We can lay all of our cares upon him. Why? Because he is our light and he is our perfecter. And the work that he's begun in you, the work that he's begun in me, God promises to complete. So, here we go. How does this practically work in our lives? Listen, when we need to know God's will, when we're struggling for an answer, when we need to know, yes, Lord, no, Lord, how, Lord, when, Lord, he places impressions on our heart. Don talked about that last week. He talked about how God impresses his will as we listen to his voice, as we're asking God for direction. He puts impressions on our heart. And you know, it's not about a breastplate with stones on it any longer, but there's an impression made. God brands our heart. And I know this is speaking to the children of Israel in Jeremiah 31:31. It's reiterated, though, in Hebrews chapter 8. And it says, "The days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they did not continue in my covenant, and I disregarded them, says the Lord. For this law I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind, and I will what? Write them on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people." Listen, no more stones. No more having to go to the priest for answers. God is saying, I am doing a new thing. I am going to write my law. I am going to write my will upon each of your hearts. The Bible tells us in Psalm 37, "Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart." You know what the problem with this verse is? We don't always know what the desire of our heart is. We may think it's to be rich and famous. We may think that it's our career path. We don't really know what the true desires on our heart really is until we are completely in the center of God's will. Now, I'm going to say something. You may hear me say this again from time to time if you should call me here. But I'm going to say something that may surprise you. You see, God wants to be in the center of all of our lives. And what I mean by that is sometimes we have a tendency of looking at God linearly, which means that we sometimes prioritize God. If I was to ask any one of you, hey, what's your number one priority in life? You're going to say, well, God's number one in my life, and then my family, and then my career, and then maybe it's my hobby. I don't know what order you'd put it in, but if you're at church and you're trying to sound really, really spiritual, you're going to say, yeah, God's number one. Amen? Hey, is God number one in your lives? God, put a, guys, put a number one up. Let me see. Okay, God's number one. And that's great. That's wonderful when you're walking in the Spirit. But the moment I'm walking in the flesh, I have a tendency, not you guys, because, you know, you guys are all right, but I have a tendency of taking God from that number one position, and just for a couple minutes while I yell at this guy that just cut me off in traffic, I have a tendency to put God down here for a minute so that I can let my flesh take over, right? And then as soon as I've got that out of my system, okay, God, you're back up here. Listen, God doesn't want to be a priority in your life, because when he's a priority in your life, we can move him. God wants to be in the center of our lives. God wants to be in the center of your family. He wants to be in the center of your ministry. He wants to be in the center of your recreational activities. He wants to be in the center of everything. And when God is in the center of everything that we do, then we can truly delight ourselves in him. And what does he do, man? He will give us the desires that we really have. Not the desires that we think we want. Not those desires that we think we need, but what we really, really need from God. So, number two, again, practically, how does this work in our lives? How does it work in our church family? You see, here's where we need to truly understand the principle behind the Urim and the Thummim. You see, God will often speak congregationally to us. He will speak through the congregation, just like he did with the children of Israel. Just like when the high priest would go into the holy place, he would have those stones over his heart, and those stones would illuminate. Do you guys realize that each and every one of you is a precious jewel to the Lord? Every single one of us is so important to him. We are like a precious jewel to him. And not only that, each of us have the ability to bring enlightenment to somebody else. We all have the ability to bring a word of knowledge or an encouragement or even an exhortation to one another. Oh, let me go back. Sorry, I didn't realize it was already there. Check this out in 1 Peter 2:5. He says, "You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." Peter, inspired by the Holy Spirit, he says, you, we, us, we are living stones. We're a living stone. And I can come to the Lord. God has put a desire on my heart, and I've consulted Jesus, my light and my perfections, and I've prayed, and I've fasted, and I've gone to the Lord in his word. And now I can come to a brother or a sister, and I can ask, hey, what's your counsel on this decision that I need to make? What is your advice? What is your godly wisdom? You know what, you guys, there is so, you young people in here, there is so much godly wisdom in this room. But oftentimes we want to go to our ungodly friends. We want to go to our ungodly coworkers for counsel, for advice, when there's so much wisdom right here in this church. Why? Because we are living stones. Each and every one of us is a living stone. So how does this work in this church? How does this work in our church? In Acts chapter 13, Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, wrote this, Luke, inspired by the Holy Spirit, wrote this. "Now, in the church that was in Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, "Now, separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I've called them." Then, having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. The family of God, they were gathered together, just like you guys are, just like you will be on Wednesday evening for the church business meeting, and you're figuring it out together. Does that make sense? You guys are going to make a decision congregationally together. You are seeking God's will together. You know what, guys? Christianity is not about Lone Ranger Christianity. We need one another. We need to sharpen one another like iron sharpens iron. We are living stones. And I get it, you know, if you're a stonemason and you're putting a little wall together and you're choosing stones, and you're trying to get them to fit together and they're not just fitting together just right. Sometimes you have to rub those two stones together just so that they can fit and make that retainer wall just right, just like us, right? Sometimes we rub each other the wrong way, don't we, Frank? Sometimes we rub each other wrong, but that's okay. Listen, we are God's family. We are His living stones, and we are going to work these things out together. Can I get an amen from you guys on that? So what does this mean for Hood Canal Community Church? Listen, you guys, I know you've been praying for your pastor. You've been praying and you've been seeking God's face. You've been fasting together. You've been seeking God's will for His church. And you know what God has done? He has taken your search committee. He has taken your elders and He has made an impression over their heart. That's right. That's what God has done. As they have been coming together, they have been working together, they have been praying together, God has made an impression on their heart saying, you know what? Mike Katz, he's the man that we believe that God is calling to be our pastor. And now, as His children, as living stones, the Lord will gather you together and you are going to make a community decision together. You guys are going to bring forth confirmation for what God has already impressed on your search committee's heart. And that as every one of us, I pray and I hope all of us have been seeking God's perfect will for this church. It's not just an impression that He made on their heart. And it's not just confirmation that God is going to bring forth from the community, but we even see it in God's word, as in the book of Acts, the church came together and they prayed together and they fasted together and they laid hands upon Saul and Barnabas and they sent them out for the work of the ministry. Just like Kayleen, you're going to be sent out tomorrow for the work of the ministry. These are important decisions that will be made and need to be made as you are deciding who is God calling to be your pastor. And I can't make that decision for you guys. All of us, we have to trust God. And as God has made an impression on the heart of your search committee, now, as the church will gather together, just like in Acts chapter 13, as a community, you will bring forth confirmation. Is God confirming the impression that God has already made as God is illuminating the way because He is the only one who is perfect? Are you, as living stones, lighting the way? Yes. Or, listen, it's okay. It's okay if the answer is no, because it's God's will. We don't, listen, it's not my will. It's not your will. It's not your search committee's will. It's not the elders of this church's will. But whose will are we seeking to be done? So if it's God's will, amen. And if it's not God's will for Mike Katz to be the lead pastor of your church, amen. We'll be satisfied either way. Can I get an amen? Amen. Amen. Let's go to the Lord and pray. Father, we thank you, Lord. You are so good to us. You are our light. You are our perfection. You are the one who lights the way for us. And Lord, right now, we, your church, are at a crossroad. And we need to know your will for Hood Canal Community Church. Father, forgive us if we have been trying to impress our will in any way on this decision. Because, Lord, the truth is, if it ends up becoming the will of the people and not your will, all of us will be miserable. But Father, if it is your will and you are bringing confirmation, then Lord, we know that you are going to light the way. And as living stones, Father, you are going to bring forth confirmation. We trust you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing in our midst. And Father, as we oftentimes have to come to you for direction personally, not just as a community, but as we have to come to you personally, we know that you are the God who loves us. You are the God who will never leave us. You are the God who puts impressions on our heart. And you're the God who brings confirmation through the counsel and the wisdom of brothers and sisters in Christ. We praise you this morning, and we thank you so much for what you're doing in our midst. And it's in Jesus' name that we all pray. Amen. Amen.